Once again, we come to a time in which we look at questions that perhaps you have in Scripture. As we come to this time of offertory, we have felt like it was just a good platform, a good time to deal with questions that you perhaps have about the Bible or what the Bible says about something. And so I'm so thankful for the different ones that turn in your questions. Once again, I want to encourage you, you can just put it in the offering plate. And a little piece of paper, and we'll be glad to deal with these questions. The question that we're going to be dealing with today, we're going to be talking about in particular in 1 Timothy in chapter 6. So if you're turning your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6, it's dealing with using the Bible to debate. And should you use the Bible to debate or argue about particular issues? And I think it's an excellent question. Scripture reminds us, and one of the passages that we were looking at earlier this morning is telling us that the goal of our instruction is love, a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. In other words, what's the goal of your conversation? Paul will say in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, do all that you do out of love. Just keeps coming back to that, doesn't it? I mean, it doesn't matter how much power you have, how much strength you have, how much ability you have. If you have not love, it profits you nothing, 1 Corinthians 13. So we're reminded of the fact of what our goal is. And this is why Scripture says you speak the truth out of love. What does that mean? Well, Scripture tells us that if it doesn't benefit or edify the body of Christ for the building up of the body for Christ, then it's not appropriate. In other words, you have to ask yourself, is this going to draw this person closer to Christ? Will it encourage them and strengthen them in the walk of Christ? Will it help them become more like Christ? If it doesn't do any of those things, then why are you saying it? So the words of our mouth should be for the edification of the saints. And certainly this is dealt with in 1 Timothy chapter 6 as he opens up this particular chapter with very simple regulations about just where you work. But he puts it in the context, if you have a boss that is a believer, then you should work extra hard because he is. And we'll pick up in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Let all who are under the yoke as slaves regard their own masters as worthy of honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine may not be spoken against. And let those who have believers as their masters not be disrespectful to them, because they are brethren. But let them serve them all the more, because those who partake of the benefit are believers and beloved. Teach and preach these principles. He leads off in this particular passage by saying, you need to learn how to be subject. This boss that you have may be a believer, but he may not be smarter than you in biblical things, but why don't you learn how to submit yourself to authority? The very next phrase then deals with, you know, perhaps acrimonious conversation, and we pick up in verse 3. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with a doctrine conforming to godliness. This is an interesting point. A doctrine conforming to godliness. You know, you can talk about a lot of stuff, but the question is it making you more like Christ? He is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicion, constant friction between men, depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness actually is a means of great gain. And as you read through Scripture, you realize that there are people that are using Scripture for all kinds of reasons. The question that is given to me is the Bible wrong to use to win an argument? And I would say, yes, it's wrong to use to win an argument because that's not our goal. Our goal is to present the person of Jesus Christ. And we understand that there are some, as Paul will write, particularly in 2 Timothy chapter 2, that the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't stand up for what you believe. It just means that you don't stand and argue with somebody. That your goal isn't to have the last word in that conversation. You have the right words in the conversation. You have the right attitude in the conversation. You believe, and I believe, that God will then not allow his word to return void. But I believe that unless you do it in the power of his spirit, that it has no meaning anyway. And it has no power to it. But I would say this, if in fact you are proclaiming God's word in the power of his spirit, there's no way that man's words can defeat it. And though somebody may feel like they walked away having the last word, the spirit of God will still be speaking to them. And that's what we believe. We believe that it's not in the winning of the argument, but it's in the pursuit of godliness. And that's why he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but patient, able to teach, correcting those who are in opposition. But your goal is to see them come to a place of repentance. It's not to win an argument. And unfortunately, there are those that will abuse and twist. The very next part of the question is, can't people twist Scripture to say what they want it to say? And I would say absolutely, positively, yes. This is why he states in Timothy, he says, some, you know, wanting to be teachers of the law make confident assertions about things they don't understand. And there are many people that make confident assertions about Scripture that have no idea what it's saying, nor have any desire to really cling to, but they'll twist it according to their own desires. 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter talks specifically about the fact that the unstable and the untaught distort the Scriptures. And what he's saying in that is I believe the two points is unstable, meaning that they're not living the life of Christ themselves. One of the ways that you'll distort Scripture is you won't live what Scripture is telling you. And you say, well, I feel like I'm accurate in what it's saying. No, you're not. You can't be accurate in Scripture if you haven't sanctified Christ as Lord in your heart. You'll mistranslate it in some way. And I'm not talking about logistically. I'm talking about the way you're conveying it. It's impossible if that Word of God is not living in you for you to really be a rightly divider of the Word of truth. And this is why he says, sanctify Christ as Lord of your hearts, that you may be ready to give an answer to every man the hope that's within you. What is it that actually makes you a person that is able to really defeat that which is wrong and wrong doctrine? And the bottom line is that you've sanctified Christ as Lord of your hearts. So, you know, you see all the way through Scripture, the unstable, that is to say those who are not continuing in righteousness will distort Scripture. And he says the untaught. And really the context of that particular word makes reference to the incorrigible, the people that will not listen, those who will refuse to be taught according to Scripture. They won't submit themselves to the Word of God. And he says they distort. And what it's saying is they distort for their own benefit. Now, there are people that say, well, I think this sin is okay. They say, why do you say? Well, the verse says this. And so what have they done? They've twisted the verse to say what they wanted to say so they can do their sin. We know that there are people that twist Scripture for the sake of money. And that's one of the things that he says in chapter 6 and verse 6. Godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. The inverter of verse 5 is telling us that there are some that are looking to gain through the propagation of the gospel. This is why Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, we are not many peddling the word of God. And so there are many of that day that were taking Scripture for the purpose of making money, and it's easy to twist Scripture for the sake of monetary gain. And he specifically talks about this. Verse 7, we brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out. The love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. Once again, he's talking to those that are using the gospel for proclaiming it, and he says, you men of God, avoid these things. The love of money is just going to put you down a wrong trail, and it's going to destroy you. But obviously, there are people that are distorting Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 2 makes reference to the same thing, in which they will distort by lust and actually begin to preach another gospel, as Paul might even say in Galatians chapter 1. Some people will do it just for the sake of esoteric elitism, or to, you know, put themselves in a position of feeling like they're superior to you. And for that particular purpose, they might be great students of the Word of God. But the question is, are you doing it so that people can come to Christ? Are you doing it because you love people and love Christ? If that's not the reason you're doing it, then it's going to come out wrong doctrine every single time. And so this is why John will write in 1 John, test the spirits. What's the spirit of this message? Is it so that people may be saved, may come to Christ? So absolutely that the Scripture is used and twisted and distorted for all kinds of strange reasons. Scripture tells us, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. then we know that there's a distortion that even he proclaims himself as apostles or disciples of Jesus, but saying it doesn't mean it's so. And so we understand that there's going to be this infiltration within the body. Nevertheless, the testimony of Christ stands firm, and those who walk the life of truth will proclaim the truth without apology and very clearly. Don't get into arguments. Don't try to win an argument. Don't get into a Bible debate for the sake of winning an argument. If you're going into a Bible debate, go in for the sake of proclaiming Christ and of proclaiming his love. And walk away, being willing to let that person just keep on talking. Because there are some people that just love to argue. They have a morbid interest in controversial questions. But the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome. Father, we give you thanks for your word that directs us into the path of righteousness, and we know that if somebody's genuinely seeking, they will come with a desire to hear your word and with the receptivity of a broken heart. Lord, help us to be faithful, to proclaim your word, and not to be hostile about it. We pray this in your name. Amen.